meeting now in session for the City of Los Angeles. Thank you all for attending, staff, commissioners, and members of the public. Our first item of business will be our roll call to confirm our quorum. And please, we've had some problems, commissioners and members of the public, with the minutes. We needed to make sure that our microphones are all close and that we're speaking into the microphones, because the minutes are all taken from a recording. It is also being broadcast on a council phone, and this way council members can listen if they like, but we need to be heard. Jasmine.
Yeah, Commissioner Levine, present.
Commissioner Eisenberg, present.
Commissioner Davidian, present.
Commissioner Pack, present.
Our quorum is confirmed. Our first, next item of business will be approval of minutes from the July 7th meeting.
Commissioner Pack, I approve the minutes as is.
Commissioner Davidian, second.
Commissioner Levine approves.
Commissioner Eisenberg, yes.
Commissioner Davidian, yes.
Commissioner Pack, yes.
The minutes are approved. Please file them as is without any errors or omissions. Our next order of business, it is that time of year for the election of president. I was planning on rerunning. And do we have any general nominations from the floor?
You're taking nominations for chair position only currently?
Yes, only for chair position right now. All right.
I nominate Commissioner Eisenberg.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your confidence. Shall we do, is there any other nominations before we move on to vice president and a vote here? No?
No.
Commissioner LeBon?
Yes.
Commissioner Eisenberg, abstain?
Commissioner Davidian, yes.
Commissioner Pack, yes.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your confidence. Now we will move on to vice president. Do we have general nominations for vice president?
I nominate Commissioner Chris LeBon.
And I
Councilmember
wholeheartedly
Eisenberg,
agree with that.
You only had three votes, and you didn't have a quorum of.
Oh, because of that, then I will not abstain. I will go ahead and vote for that.
Mm-hmm. Don't be shy.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to re-vote then.
All right. So we will vote for the president and the vice president at the same time, because we can create a slate.
No.
Do them individually.
Okay, we'll do them individually. Yeah. Sorry, Chris.
Okay. So for president, yes.
Eric Eisenberg, yes.
Again, Davidian, yes.
Commissioner Peck, yes.
Vice President, now we have one nomination of Mr. Chris LeBon. Chris?
Yes.
Eric Eisenberg votes yes.
Begin Davidian votes yes.
Commissioner Pack, yes.
It is unanimous. We have our elected officers. We will move on to communications. Jasmine, do we have communications?
Just want to confirm we received two emails for the Empire, Appeal of Empire, that was emailed to you last night and one this morning. Mm-hmm. It's in your packet.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to confirm that you have received.
Yes, we received those. I received them. And we have a communication that was put on everybody's desk today regarding the Hope Pavilion. This came in this morning. That is item number 7. We also have another communication that came in this morning regarding item number 7 from the public, correct?
Correct, Commissioner.
And has that been distributed?
No, they're right here.
Yeah, let's pass those around. And there is one for review on the back table for members of the public that would like to see what this communication is, since it's being handed out to members of the commission. Please, if you look at the one at the back of the table, do not take it with you. It's the only one that we have for the general public to look at. General Manager's report.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Ken Husting. I'm Principal Engineer, Acting Assistant General Manager today. So as you noticed, I'm not Jay Kim. thank you. So I do have some items to share with the board. Over the past month, we've been working with Metro to bring new bus priority lanes to La Brea Avenue. So the La Brea Avenue Bus Priority Lane Project is part of the Next Gen Bus Plan, a reimagined bus system that focuses on focuses on providing fast, frequent, reliable, and accessible service to meet the needs of today's riders. The lanes being installed along La Brea are between Sunset and Olympic Boulevards and will be in operation on weekdays during peak traffic periods between 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Next month, we're doing Ciclovia over in Koreatown and connecting all the way to Hollywood. So that'll be on August 20th. So we welcome everybody to enjoy 5 miles of car-free streets. So another announcement is LEDOT is in search of qualifying firms that are interested in an opportunity to work with the City of Los Angeles as part of our on-call professional consultant list. So this is where we bring in different companies to be on a short list, and we issue specific task order solicitations when it comes to projects, and there's a range of up to 14 service categories: parking, traffic, communications, public outreach, and so forth. In late July, we joined community members to celebrate the completion of the Venice Boulevard Safety and Mobility Improvement Project. So this transformative street redesign includes several miles of parking protected bike lanes, as well as the first 24-hour bus lane in the city outside of downtown LA. LADOT also joined elected officials in support of Assembly Bill 645. This bill, introduced by Assemblymember Friedman, would allow certain jurisdictions, including the City of Los Angeles, to conduct a 5-year pilot program to evaluate the effectiveness of speed cameras in school zones and streets with a high history of accidents. And lastly, we're tracking a bill called AB 1082. This bill would limit the ability of the cities to enforce parking citations. And so this includes limiting the ability to impound and immobilize scofflaws. Those are people with 5 or more parking citations. Limits ability before we can, right now we can go to a DMV hold with 1 parking citation. This would raise it to 3. And then reduces all fines for indigent, regardless of the number of the citations they accumulate, down to $600. So it is, will have significant impacts to not only the City of LA, but as well as the state. And so that's being heard through the Senate Appropriations Committee this month. And with that, that's all I have. I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Please keep us posted on that Senate bill. A couple of things that I wanted to mention. Our decorative crosswalk program has pretty much halted due to the lack of financing. I've had a couple of communities request that they could have decorative crosswalks, and they've been denied by DOT, saying that, you know, apparently there's no money to do it at this time and the restart isn't scheduled. But I read 2 reports recently, one from a multi-city report and another one from the state of Utah, that indicated that the decorative crosswalks are now reducing traffic fatalities. So I'm wondering if there's a way that we can regain that budget through either Vision Zero or one of the associated programs, because I can forward you the reports that I have.
Yeah, that'll be very helpful. I can speak to the Vision Zero bureau head to find out if there is plans to bring that back. I know that when it comes to decorative crosswalks, often they are incorporated when there is a safety improvement project associated with a grant to be able to pay for that. And there have been issues with maintenance of the decorative crosswalks. So those are part of the things working against it, but definitely when there's improvement projects and there's grants, I think it's a better opportunity. But I'll get back to you.
And both of the organizations that reached out to me are business improvement districts and are willing to assume the maintenance.
Okay, I'll convey that message.
Great. Any commissioners have?
I have another comment.
Sure,
thanks for
right
asking.
Mr. LeBlanc.
This past 3 months, I've seen on a personal basis, you know, a couple of electric bicycle accidents. Part of what I'm thinking about is what is the purview of LADOT in creating, you know, some form of either helping out create an ordinance or enforcement of some of the existing ordinances. So not for today's discussion, but I just want to point it out that, you know, one too many accidents have happened around the city of Los Angeles, and maybe at some point a discussion with staff on how electric bikes could be further be regulated.
Sure, we can come back with an informational item if you'd like.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much, Ken. You appreciate it as always, and I like your promotion.
Thank you. Working on my Korean too.
Oh.
Well, then you also have to work on your surfing.
Oh, right.
That's right.
Definitely.
All right. Quick notice to paid members of our audience, and this could include if you're being compensated in any way, if you're a BID employee, if you're being compensated to attend these meetings or speak at these meetings, you need to check with the city's ethics department, because there is a code 4801 that covers such items, and you may need to report to that. Do we have any representatives from the neighborhood council that are coming regarding neighborhood council votes to, or neighborhood council action to make a speech? No. And the only reason why I added that is because it wouldn't fall if you're like a general member of a neighborhood council, but if you're speaking for the neighborhood council, then we have a special place in our agenda for that. Public forum. Do we have any general public forum?
No general public.
Okay. I know we have a lot of folks on number 7, and we're going to get to that pretty soon. Informational item number 7. So now we will do public speakers for item number 7. Let me make a quick comment to commissioners and members of the audience that might wonder why this is informational. Up until a few months ago, an item like that would have been under our purview, but now it is not. Now our, when it comes to the use of LADOT lots, that is all city council's purview, although we appreciate you coming in and weighing in and giving us your comments, and we appreciate the staff report because we like to know what's going on in the lots, but it's no longer up to our vote. So let me go ahead and start with the public comments for item number 7. It looks like Melissa Catterman, Kaufman. Yes, Melissa. We have a microphone. Oh, I'm sorry. Step right up to the microphone.
Commissioner, you're going to let them know how many minutes they have?
Yes. All. Hey, Melissa, we are a very informal group. And if you don't really have a prepared speech, you can just say, I'm in favor of number 7, or I don't like number 7.
I'm extremely opposed to number 7.
All right. Well, thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Appreciate coming. Please speak into the microphone when you are called to speak. A maximum of 2 minutes will be allotted to the public speakers, but feel free to speak for less time if you don't need it. The next one is Ray Coulterman.
I also oppose, and I'm going to yield my time. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, sir. Emil?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Emil Megarath?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I oppose to this idea. I'm building a house right behind the parking lot you guys are trying to do this to, and it's not something I want my kids to really wake up to and look at. People doing drugs and hanging out in the streets and all that stuff. You know, I invested a lot of money into that property, and it's not just me, everybody behind me. Nobody wants their neighborhood to be trashed. I mean, why don't we take them to the people's neighborhood that are opposing these things, that think is a smart idea? Why don't we take it to the council person's neighborhood, or whoever else wants those people there? Why don't we take it to your neighborhood? You know, we work hard, we pay taxes to keep the places clean. It's to a lot of people, it's somewhat of a retirement plan to live off the equity of their properties in the long run. And you guys doing this is gonna slash their dreams and their money by 50%. I've been wanting to, you know, move in there, but it's somewhat retarded to take my kids somewhere where there's a homeless shelter and prisoners and druggies that are literally next door. All their bedroom has a window facing that garage. And it's just going to cripple the neighborhood. It's going to cripple the businesses. It's going to cripple everyone that lives there. And even if you tell them, well, you can move away from the neighborhood, guess what? Their $1 million or $2 million or $3 million is going to be cut by 50%. Who's going to cover that? You're just creating more of a problem. Why would you take a homeless shelter to a multi-million-dollar neighborhood? I don't see Brentwood doing it. I don't see Beverly Hills doing it. I don't see nowhere with multi-million-dollar homes where there's these things happening. And that parking lot is for a lot of businesses. You know, finally great things is happening in that area. Google wants to come. All these developments are happening. The train system is there. And this is just not something that is really needed. It's stupid. You're bringing the wrong people into a community where people are trying to raise their kids, go to school. They want to feel safe when their kids are walking down the block or going bike riding or scootering or whatever it is. And this doesn't help any of that. It just messes with people's livelihood, lives, kids. And it's not something I want my kids to wake up to. Look outside and you see a bunch of people that have given up on themselves trying to be helped with our tax dollars that we're paying for those properties.
Gasman, are you timing?
Yes.
How many? I can't see it.
Oh, you can.
42 seconds.
You got 42 seconds.
Okay. Sorry. Anyway, thank you, sir. We appreciate your comments. I just can't see the clock, so I'm going to hope that somebody over here waves at me.
Is it 2 or 3 minutes? How many?
Two. He said two.
Okay, no, that's the emergency buzzer. Oh. I push this button and Navy SEALs come through that window.
Yeah, window, yeah.
John Perez.
Thank you, members of the commission, for allowing me to speak today.
Sir, you can sit down as well if you want.
I'm adamantly opposed to the Midvale PICO project. It would be very detrimental to the vitality, safety, and peace of the small business and residential communities in the area. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Kevin Kahn? Cohen?
Good morning. Kevin Cohen. I'm a principal planner with Elevated Entitlements. I actually represent a lot of property owners and businesses in this neighborhood. I'm a former planning commissioner myself in the city I live in, Thousand Oaks, so we appreciate what you do and what you bring to the city. I definitely oppose this project. I don't think this is an appropriate place for this facility. There's a need for homeless housing, and that's understood, but we don't think this is an appropriate place for it. One issue we see in given your Department of Transportation is parking. Given that this lot was stated as an underutilized lot, we felt was not inappropriate. So one thing that we've noticed is that there hasn't been a study that's been made public of the underutilized lot and what the study has shown of the peak and off-peak hours. We would like to see that study and see it given to the public for review. We think it's appropriate to understand how the city has come up with this determination of parking. And then understanding if parking is taken away from this business owners, how does it affect the tenants there? How do they support their businesses, make sure there's ADA access and availability for their tenants? I've seen a lot of turnover in tenant spaces there, and there's been issues of accessibility, parking in the area, and unfortunately with the removal of this parking, it's going to significantly affect a lot of business owners in the neighborhood. And your department looking at transportation, how do we make more pedestrian friendly, walkable? I think it's important to understand that these business owners are going to be affected by unfortunately a homeless encampment in the area. We understand that this is an interim use, and we hope it's temporary, but There's always possibility of extension of the area to be continued for many years in affecting these businesses. So I feel for the property owners in this area. I think it's got to be considered to look at other options and other means. I know your board is, your hands are kind of tied of the powers you have, and it's unfortunate, but I'm hoping that you guys take a look at some of the comments you hear today, take into consideration, and you give feedback to the council and have these informational meetings about, okay, if we're taking parking away from this area, how can we provide incentives or alleviate some of the concerns of the business owners to provide still businesses in the area that can succeed given this issue. So we appreciate your time. We appreciate your consideration and listening to us today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. John Healy.
Oh, hi. My name is John Healy, and I am losing a day's work being here. I figured this was an important enough issue to come down to downtown and take care of. But on that note, I grew up on Midvale Avenue across the street where the proposed site is. And, you know, in high school and college, I was able to procure employment from three different small businesses on Pico within, you know, a 2-minute walk from my house. I could walk around those streets any time of day and night as a young adult and as a child and have a perfectly safe experience. And behind me, you know, we have old people, we have young people, we have a very diverse crowd of a community. And I'd like them to be able to experience the same thing I did growing up. As a kid, there were baseball games on people's front yards. You could go anywhere. You have friends in the area. As an adult now, even tonight, I see young couples walking their children and small dogs in the area. And I think that you know, that's something people have worked hard for. And it's something that they deserve. You know, that's really, you know, the crux of the matter. And such a facility would really ruin all that. I'm very familiar with the Venice area and what goes on in the Pacific Shelter. And it's ruined the area. I mean, let's be frank about it. But that's all I'd like to see. Thank you very much for your time today. And I appreciate you having this the opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Thank you. Chiaro Angulo.
My name is Jairo J. Angulo, and I am a resident of the neighborhood. And I would invite the commission to come visit the neighborhood. It's really important. Our concern is that the residents that will be housed there will be like the residents, like the people that visit the 99-cent store in Pico and military. There's all sorts of garbage thrown around the area, and we think that this is going to occur at the parking lot. We're also concerned about the businesses that are going to be affected. As I understand it, the site that was recently occupied by Starbucks was going to be, there was a restaurant that was supposed to go in there, but since they heard about this parking lot issue, they walked away. This is going to affect the local neighborhoods. It's a wonderful neighborhood where we can walk, go to local restaurants. We really need your help in putting an end to this plan. It's just not workable. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Jonathan Angulo.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Angulo. I oppose this project. I wish that the commission had held on to their power with parking lots and not giving it to the city council. You guys know about parking. You know about what's going on. And we need that parking lot, and the businesses need that parking lot. And the city council has too many items that they have no idea about the neighborhoods, but you guys really probably do know about the neighborhoods. Our businesses are leaving. We've lost them because of COVID, and now they won't come back because of this project. I walk the streets of this neighborhood every day. I know there's a homeless situation, and it's horrible, but this is not the place, nor is this the project. That the city is taking people without screening them and putting them in this parking lot. And it just feels so bound for failure that we do not want to be part of it. We appreciate you listening, and we wish you had more power in this.
Thank you. Jeff Bells? Do we have a Jeff Fells today? All right, we'll come back to Mr. Fells. Yang Zhang?
Thank you, Commissioner, for this opportunity. We are all very appreciative. I'm one of the, I think, new generation that recently moved into this neighborhood. I moved in our house last year. I only had only positive experience with the neighborhood. Everyone's so friendly. The environment's great. So I gave my voucher to my other friends interested in moving in this neighborhood. They bought the house across the street of our house. They recently moved in, actually just moved in this year. So recently, when I talk about this this new project with them, there are a lot of regret, and there are a lot of concerns regarding this project. If they have known that the city is planning this new facility for homeless, they probably would never come to this neighborhood. And it definitely hurts the momentum of us growing the neighborhood, these residents, as well as the small business, which was affected by the pandemic. Recently, we saw a growth of small business, but we don't want this momentum to be interrupted by this this new project. So that's our concern. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. My Osilia?
Yes.
Roy?
That's me.
Oh. Welcome.
My name is Mai Cecilia Yubui, and I live right across from the parking lot. So I know how busy the parking lot is most of the time. I can see from my window. I just don't feel safe for the new proposal because they're going to have more people that challenging. So I'm against the proposal. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Panita Witherbottom?
Good try.
I'm sorry.
My name's Anita Witherington, and I've lived on the 2300 block of Midvale since 1974, raised our children there, and our grandchildren visit. I'm very concerned about how this project will affect not only the residents, but the small businesses of this area, because that's what gives us a sense of community. We've always been able to walk to local shops to take care of our necessary bits of business. It's true that interim housing is found around the city in all other council districts except CD5. But when you look closely at where interim housing is located, most others are located in commercial, industrial, or a combination of those areas. There are no instances where interim housing is located in the middle of a retail center. So I am very much opposed to this project, and thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Arlene Jarrell.
I'm opposed
to the Midvale Pico Homeless Shelter, and I allot my time to Ed Jurley.
Thank you. Now, this one is very, very hard for me to read, so I'm going to apologize. Last name, Kalamaku. Yeah, I think it's Palanaku. I can't. Deborah?
Is it Palomeque?
Yeah, that's it. Palomeque. It's a Q. Okay, got it. I thought it was a G.
Maybe you'll laugh. Okay. However,
our apologies, ma'am.
No apology at all. It's slaughtered. It's called everything. I'm glad you came close to it. My name is Devorah Palomeque. I am a homeowner in the area. I am very much opposed to this project. My history, though, regarding the homeless, I have dealt with homeless from college years. I worked with the Navajo Nation with the homeless. I have worked with the Salvation Army over the years. I am currently involved in two cases in the city of Santa Monica coming to the aid of someone attempted murder by a homeless. My own case, this is in the last 15 months, attempt on my life, and then one in LA City at Sepulveda and Olympic Boulevard, the 7-Eleven, with a gentleman homeless who was in interim housing with a gun pointed to a woman's head at 9:30 in the morning on a Sunday morning. So that's my experience with the homeless. However, I'm a fan of the Pico Corridor, which has been crushed during COVID. We don't deny that, okay? Things have changed pre-COVID, things were changing, but what's exciting right now, as you've heard, is we've got Google, or most of Google will be coming in to Pico and Westwood Boulevard. That's exciting. New people, new faces, new opportunity for this Pico Corridor, as has been presented before. We as residents want very much to support those businesses. We like the walkability. Transportation, don't you love the idea of maybe not having to have parking because we can walk to a business, okay? But you're going to take that away from us by not, the council that took over on your behalf, unfortunately, but I'm glad you're listening today, are looking to take away this opportunity for these businesses that are privately owned businesses that we would like to support, that we want to be able to walk to, that we want to have this Pico Corridor become resurged because of Google, of which the tenants start entering the complex, my understanding, per the project manager, within the next 60 days, some tenants arrive. We walk to our businesses on Westwood Boulevard. We've got a thriving district between Olympic and Santa Monica, businesses, etc. But interim housing has a time and a place and a location that's convenient, can be protected, and I understand the situation. Again, I have been dealing with this as a volunteer for years, the homeless situation. It's gotten a lot rougher than it was years ago. And again, I'm involved in two incidents in the city of Santa Monica and one in the city of Los Angeles. So please, I realize this is off your plate, but please share the fact that we want that Pico Corridor coming back. We want to be able to have a leasing agent say, there is parking just a half a block away, just a block away. We want to find a business and welcome them and start coming back and bringing money to the community. And I know the city would like tax dollars from businesses that have a chance to flourish because of restricted parking north and south of Pico and the residents, restricted limited parking on the north side of Pico 4 to 7, the south side of Pico 4 to 7 and 7 to 10 a.m. Anytime you drive by that lot, anytime in the morning or anytime after 4, you'll see anywhere from 6 to 10 plus cars, even now with limited businesses. So obviously it's being utilized. So even though this is off your plate, go ahead and jar your council person. Thank you for mentioning the Ciclavia. I'll be in the Ciclavia. Thank you for bringing the electric bike situation up. I came here sustainable transportation using the Expo Line and my bike. Please nudge this council person and let them understand that it may be off your plate, but you do care enough about this corridor. Walkability, businesses, please support our community. Again, we realize it's off your plate. I'm going down to the last second, but please nudge that council person and have them understand we do not want interim housing here, but someplace that's applicable. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, everyone.
Mark Pollock.
Thank you for letting me speak today. My name is Mark Pollock, and I'm the president of Westside Retail. I've been a retail property specialist in this area for 39 years, and I've represented many of the property owners in the area. I've helped them to upgrade their properties, redo their storefronts, and attract national and regional name brand tenants to the area. I've personally placed more businesses on PICO than any other broker on the planet. And I've placed 18 of these retailers just on the north side of PICO between Sepulveda and Westwood Boulevards. The negative impact from this project has already begun as the word has spread. I currently have a lease out for signature with a national quick serve restaurant for the space that Starbucks recently vacated. And after learning of this proposed project, they've refused to sign the lease until and unless the project is scrapped. The tenant next to Starbucks is Backhouse Grill. They're currently on a month-to-month lease. And without their parking lot, and combined with no parking on PICO from 4 to 7, and permit parking in the residential neighborhood, they're sure to vacate the space also. I've identified 6 retailers there that already have leases expiring and have expressed that they'll leave the neighborhood. So even before the first person moves into this project, we're going to see vacant spaces on PICO. I would strongly suggest the city to place a much larger version of this project on the Caltrans site that's under the freeway overpass at PICO and Sawtelle. They have about 2 acres of land there. They don't have any adjacent property issues like we have here, and I would urge them to talk to the state of California and make arrangements to do a much larger site. This site that they're planning to put here is insignificant as it relates to the size and the scope of the homeless issue that we have, and they need to be thinking on a much bigger view than they're thinking on a site like this. Obviously, I'm opposed to the project, and I thank you very much for hearing me.
Great. Thank you, sir. Ed Jarrell.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Ed Jarrell, J-I-R-E-L-E, and my wife, Arlene, and I are the owners of the 3 commercial properties right adjacent to the parking lot and to the west of it. The addresses are 10911, 10915, and 10921 PICO. I have a brief history I was going to address, but in the interest of time, I'll kind of pass over that. But 2 of these properties have been in the family for 75 years. And why is this significant? Because this long-standing ownership has benefited this business district and neighborhood over these years. Benefits include property stability, modernization, there's been many updates over the years, good stewardship of the properties, and most importantly, providing quality businesses to the surrounding community. Mark has already addressed the fact that Starbucks was located in one of these buildings, the end cap space, for 30 years, and the fact that we have a prospective tenant which is now pulled back. These 3 buildings are a significant part of the business district in this area. If this proposed project is approved, they will not survive. 2 of the reasons have kind of already been addressed. One is the parking issue, and the fact that there's no parking on the street from 4 to 7 further is a problem for the businesses, especially the restaurant businesses. As these businesses spiral to their demise, so too will the properties in the business district. Replacement tenants will no longer sign leases. Insurance companies will refuse to insure the buildings. Storefronts will be boarded up. Rear parking spaces will be fenced in with chain link fences. The business district in this area will become a blight in Council District 5. So much for the PICO Boulevard beautification plan, which I understand has been planned. In summary, this project will have devastating consequences to this neighborhood and its supporting businesses. That being said, we respectfully suggest that this project not be approved and that Council District 5 find a more suitable location that would have a greater impact on the homeless issue. 30 units sounds like a drop in the bucket. save the neighborhood.
Thank you,
sir. Thank you.
Leona Anderson?
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
And thank you for this opportunity. My name is Leona Anderson, and I am greatly opposed to this project. I am probably the newest homeowner on Midvale. I closed escrow on the day that we had our meeting last Thursday. That was the one-year anniversary. I would not have purchased this home if I knew this project was coming, nor if it was already in place. We moved from the Palisades to find a more diverse and walkable and urban neighborhood that consisted of homes and retail. The Rancho Park Business District has been a long-standing anchor for almost 90 years for three neighborhoods that meet at Pico: West LA, Rancho Park, and Cheviot Hills. Our commercial area consists of customer-facing retail establishments with no parking lots of their own except the city-owned lots. Our local businesses rely on that parking, and they will surely lose income on which they rely, and our community loses important and essential businesses. Mayor Bass has actually issued an executive directive to grow and support small businesses in Los Angeles. Our small businesses provide local jobs, generate revenue and taxes for the city, and help define community identity. This project does need to exist somewhere in CD5, just not at this site. There are better, more common sense locations that should be considered. The proposal for this interim homeless housing project is across the street from the soon to be open Google campus. Our retail corridor is struggling to recover from COVID, and this is a once in a lifetime opportunity for a retail area to become revitalized with the welcoming of such a large and successful employer. It will bring disposable income to the area, and the retail spaces that have sat empty for so long and blighted our neighborhood have the chance to once again provide amenities for and vitality to our neighborhood. I've researched all the interim housing projects currently operating in the city of Los Angeles, and many have encampments just outside the facilities, and not one of them is located in a retail area. It might be in a commercial area, but not retail area with high volume customer visits, and a residential area right next door. We are making our opposition known in public, as we are asking our council member Yaroslavsky to pause this project and meet directly with our stakeholders to discuss potential sites that would successfully bring interim housing to CD5 while also preserving a middle-class neighborhood and business district that deserves to exist and serve this community. This project is short-sighted because the city simply owns the land. At our meeting, it was quoted that it's low-hanging fruit. What will be the loss from this project will far exceed the money that the city will save. Thank you for your time and the opportunity to share our views. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Tori, Melinda? Tony?
Oh, thank you for your time, folks. I got to try to keep it together here. I just found out yesterday that my mom in Sweden died. So I'm on bereavement day, but it's better than sitting at home and wallowing in misery. But this is also misery. I adamantly oppose this human experiment. I live 500 feet from it. My wife and I have owned our home for 20 years on Midvale. Love it. We've raised two amazing young adults who love to call this their childhood home. They love to come home from college to visit, and they're in absolute shock. We have taken care of my mother-in-law for 20 years. Go Nana, she turned 99. But she's scared to death to go to sleep. And it's getting worse. I've been a mental health professional for 35 years. I'm an addiction medicine specialist at Kaiser Permanente, and I know what I'm talking about. And we are not gonna solve homelessness, addiction, or mental illness in a parking lot. It is not gonna happen. But let's talk about this lot. So, underutilized, of course it was. COVID decimated our neighborhood. It knocked out the Landmark 16. It knocked out the West Side Pavilion, I mean the West Side Tavern, and Urban Outfitters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But now we're slowly coming back to life, and we'd like that opportunity to continue. And if this thing happens, the existing businesses are gone, and as you've heard, nothing's coming in. It's going to be a nightmare, and it's going to be a transportation nightmare. So imagine 30 8x8 sheds with 30 homeless, mentally ill people. These people have friends. Where are their friends going to go? On my sidewalk, in my front yard, and in California, I have no rights to do a damn thing about it. If I do anything to defend my property, guess who's in trouble? Right? So let's also talk about health and safety. We're feeding, they're going to feed these people 3 meals a day. That's 90 meals a day. Where is the waste going to go? Where are all the plastic and paper goods going to go? On our street, because those garbage cans are going to fill up in 2 seconds. And let's talk about leftovers. We're not allowed to donate leftovers in California. So what are they going to do? Give it to their buddies on the sidewalk? Spill trays of stroganoff on my freaking sidewalk in 100-degree weather? Where is that? Where are the leftovers going to go for 90 meals a day? Come on. And where's the human waste going to go? They're going to send pump trucks out once a day to sanitize those things? I doubt it. How often are they going to bring the garbage trucks? It's not good. It is going to be an absolute nightmare. Thank you for listening.
Sorry. Thank you, sir. Natalie Tarbata.
Hi there. My name is Natalie Torbati, and I thank you all for listening. I am a local resident. I am part of the community. I am a homeowner. I am an attorney. I am a wife. But above all, I am a mother with 2 children, ages 2 and 4. And my number one job is to protect my children, just like every parent's number one job is. As it stands, we've been provided with no assurance from the city that there will be safety. I feel completely unsafe. I often go down the street to the local Cold Stone with my 2 children on their scooter or on their bicycle or just on a simple walk or stroll in the stroller. And I no longer feel like I will have the ability to do that. I feel like I will be trapped in my own home. My children will be trapped with no ability to grow up with a normal childhood. Like I said, we've been provided with zero assurance from the city council that measures will be taken to ensure safety for residents, for homeowners, for businesses. We've been told that there will be no drug testing, there will be no curfews, they are free to leave as much as they want, come and go as much as they want. Where will they go? They will wander on our streets. LAPD is at a historic low. They have now hit below 9,000 officers. That's the lowest the city has seen. The city council has said, we are trying to up enforcement. I appreciate their efforts, but let's be real. Let's have some common sense. There will be little to no enforcement from the local police department. As it stands, I have had a homeless man on my front doorstep. I have had a homeless man run through my backyard after stabbing someone. I've called the police department. I have been on hold for 30 minutes just to reach someone at the police department. It took over 2 hours for someone to come to address the situation. And how much worse would it get with someone with a homeless shelter down the street, with people ODing, people detoxing, people needing special medical care and services from the local police department, local fire department, with zero ability to get there and zero assurance that anything will happen to help the neighborhood. I am extremely opposed to this project, and I understand there's a homelessness crisis. We all do. We all understand the need for housing. This is not the place to do it. We need to find an alternate site. We want to work with the council, the city council, to to work with them and find alternative options. To date, we have been provided no such opportunity. We ask for your support. We ask for the city council support and understanding. And common sense just dictates you do not put a homeless shelter next to children. You do not put a homeless shelter next to people that cannot defend themselves. Let common sense reign, and please understand where we're coming from. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Ramin?
Good morning, everybody. We appreciate this opportunity to come and give our feedback. Ramin Reitanshi, I live on the 2200 block of Midvale. I moved there about 3 years ago with my wife and our two kids. I have a two-year-old, a five-year-old, and one on the way. I'm a real estate broker. I also own and manage apartment buildings. And I deal with a lot of low-income housing, you name it, from Section 8, HIP, HACLA, Brilliant Corners. I deal with the homeless situation. And I'm all for helping these people, but helping them correctly. This site is not suitable for that area. It's next to single-family residences. It's interim, which means there's going to be in and out of people. It's not permanent. I'd be happy to rent out some of my units permanently to these people. I think they need permanent housing, not interim. More importantly, and forget that it's going to bring property values down in the area, which it will. That's a different argument. That parking lot is needed. It's needed for the businesses there. It's needed for my friends that come and visit us. Somebody said, come and visit. You guys come and visit the shops there. I recommend you do. There's some really good shops there. There's Nizam Restaurant, which is an Indian restaurant. It's my favorite restaurant. We go there quite often. There's a Cold Stone that I take my kids to. These businesses will leave. I guarantee you they will leave. When a couple dozen feet away that this shelter is going to come, they're going to leave. And nobody's going to come and replace them. 30 beds is going to do a lot more harm to the community. I think you need to find a different location that is significantly larger, can handle a larger group of people. As other people have said, they chose this location because it's a low-hanging fruit. They didn't ask any of the neighbors propose it. They just said, we're doing this, which is not fair. I feel like this was just coming here and just telling us how we feel, but it's not going to get anywhere. I hope you guys prove us wrong. I hope you guys will get involved and take everybody's comments and share how we feel. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Margaret Healy.
Good morning. Morning.
Good morning.
My name is Margaret Healy. I've lived directly across the street from the R1 portion of Lot 707, lived there for 51 years. We are very sympathetic to the needs for housing and rehabilitation of the homeless, but that won't happen on this site. There is no clearly defined rehabilitation program. There is a low bar for placement, meaning clients with criminal records, addiction, mental illness, will be crowded together in hope they will live harmoniously. Clients are likely to wander onto local streets, interfering with traffic and jeopardizing the safety of pedestrians, young and old, inside and outside their homes. Security may not leave the lot even if they see a break-in or assault on the street. Lot 707, which is not underutilized, and we have the photos, is the only parking spot for businesses, especially restaurants, in the evening. Without parking, these businesses will close just when PICO is beginning to revitalize and with the arrival of Google. A facility to house the homeless is a good thing, but not one adjacent to homes, which will drive out mom-and-pop businesses. Mayor Bass, we know Mayor Bass wants to be a friend of small businesses. Her executive order number 4 has affirmed that. Now, we want to tell her, please don't kill the small businesses on PICO. Find a more appropriate site for this project. They do exist. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jonathan Ross.
Jonathan Ross, resident of the street for 56 years, firmly opposed to the project. Let's be clear. This project will entail the loss of 41 parking spaces, directly impacting the small businesses in those that depend on those parking spaces. In addition, in situations where people, either housed or unhoused, may loiter or panhandle or worse, in those corridors, those activities will naturally tend to discourage foot traffic into small businesses. Throughout this process, the city has kept us in the dark. We demand answers. Haven't given us any indications in terms of how this project is going to impact small businesses, residents, reduction in foot traffic, lost revenues, number of workers laid off, number of businesses failing, increase in homelessness as a result of workers being laid off and businesses failing. Rather than solve the problem, this project has the potential to actually create more homelessness. As T.S. Eliot famously said, between the idea and the reality falls the shadow. And thus far, I haven't seen any evidence that the city has realistically planned for the many shadows that are lurking in so many corners of this poorly conceived and poorly executed project. And we urge you, as public servants, to fulfill your sworn duty and uphold your oaths of office, President Eisenberg, Vice President Liban, Commissioner Davidian, Commissioner Pak. We urge you to reflect to the city government and the government officials that are pushing forward this disastrous project that this is a very bad idea. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Jay Jacoby. Good save.
How are you doing? Jay Jacoby. I also live on Midvale for 37 years. You know that we know that there's no use buttering you up, but would you be interested in running for the city council? just a question. Either any of you. No. You know, we were blindsided by this whole project. We had no notice, no input, no conversation. When we did find out, we handed a list of about maybe 70 questions to the council councilwoman to answer. No answer. We then had a Thursday night meeting that was sort of in sessions. No answers. We weren't even allowed to ask questions. Then there was what I would call on Sunday a made-for-TV Zoom that was canned, and again, no answer. So the problem that we're having really is that there's no sign of respect for the neighborhood. We're just trying to get questions answered. We can't even do that. So it puts us in a frustrating position, and we have, which I was just notified, we have the deputy chief of staff from Katie Arislavsky's office that is willing to meet with us. He's outside after this. We'd urge one of you or all of you, listen to us, get on our knees and beg them for a meeting and answer our questions. We're just in the dark. Thank you.
Thank you. Barbara Broad.
Hello, Commissioners. My name is Barbara Brady, and I'm here before you today in my role as president of the Westwood South of Santa Monica Boulevard Homeowners Association. I feel a very heavy weight of responsibility for representing this community that has been wronged, that learned of a property proposed taking without advance notice and by press release. And just like you, we feel a little bit unempowered. But I hope that even though you don't have formal authority to make a judgment on this, that you will vote to support the community, the business community, the residents, because this is a very poorly conceived idea. That parking lot was taken there's an irony to this. The elected representative who first proposed this parking lot be established for the community was Zev Yaroslavsky, our then council member. And he made a very strong case for why it was needed, and those needs still exist. I'm elected member of the Westside Neighborhood Council. We spend the majority of our budget every year supporting local businesses. We also received a multi-million dollar grant from Metro, which is just now being implemented to do pedestrian-oriented improvements on Pico Boulevard. This is critical. This is the heart of our community. We were one of the first city communities to establish a pedestrian-oriented district, a POD or a NOD. It is an ordinance on the city's books designed to foster walkability before walkability was ever a topic. So this is critical. The survival of our community, the heart of our community, is at stake. It makes no sense. You've heard from longtime residents. You've heard from new residents. This is the time when our community is turning over and attracting new families. There's a real problem here. Our city is being viewed as being family unfriendly, a bad place to come if you have children. That's ridiculous. It's horrible. That's why my family moved and bought our house here. It's wrong. We need to think more globally. We can't afford to lose the jobs. We can't afford to lose the small businesses. And there isn't the trust or the credibility now. The problem is the city doesn't have credibility and doesn't realize that when you promise enforcement, there is no enforcement. It's like doing basic math. 0 times 1 is 0. 0 times 10 is still 0. We can't wait for academy police courses to graduate and bring new officers online. We know that the officers are needed somewhere else more than they are in our neighborhood. We question the underutilized judgment of this lot, and we know that businesses need time to recover from COVID, and they deserve that time. The lot should not be taken. We want to be part of the solution. We have the county's mental health facility. We have the county's social welfare building. We have 2 low-income housing projects in our neighborhood that we advocated for, and we recently accepted a permanent supportive housing program on Santa Monica Boulevard that took 2 of your DOT parking lots. We gave them up. We support and do our part. But this is too much. This is really too much to ask of the community. And we hope that you can express your position, if not officially, unofficially, to say that that lot deserves to remain as it is now as a community-serving parking lot, number 707. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. That concludes our public forum for this item number 7. I'd like to thank all our speakers that took time out of their day today to come and exercise their right to weigh in and freedom of speech.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Do we have a staff report on this item?
We do. Santu?
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
My name is Santu Beecham, and I'm with the LADLT Parking Facilities Division. I'm here. Sorry. Good morning. My name is Santu Beecham, and I'm with the LADLT Parking Facilities Division. I'm here to give an overview of the proposed project on lot LADLT Lot 707, located at 2377 Midville. Council District 5 is proposing to temporarily convert the parking lot to a modular interim housing facility for a period of up to 10 years. Often these homes are referred to as tiny homes. Currently, there are 11 tiny homes in the city of Los Angeles. At the end of the term, CD5 will be required to release the property back to LADLT in the current condition or better. Lot 707 has 41 spaces, including two ADA spaces, and is open daily from 7 a.m. until 9 p.m. The parking rates are $1 per hour and $4 for a maximum rate, daily rate. And it serves the local community and the surrounding businesses. CD5 selected LA Life Arc as the modular vendor for the housing facility. Life Arc's concept is entitled Hope Pavilion and proposes 33 sleeping units, with two of those ADA compliant. CD5 also selected LA Family Housing as the service provider for this project. They will provide an on-site case management services for the facility residents, regular maintenance of the facility, and on-site security. I'm available for any questions regarding the lot.
Commissioners, what I'd like to point out is that there was a handout distributed to the commission, and these are the renderings of the proposed modular interim housing facility.
Great. Thank you for coming today. I have a couple of questions, and we'll open it up to other commissioners. Has any portion of this project begun construction?
No. CD5 is proposing to have the construction start, I believe, in September or October later this year.
So sometime in September, October. Excuse me, folks. Please be respectful of our staff and speakers.
Intended to begin late this year, 2023, sorry for making it seem earlier, with an opening date of spring of 2024.
So if I may clarify, the project is not a done deal. That is the anticipated start date, and so that's just the proposal, just for clarification.
And the city attorney's office is currently reviewing various aspects of the project. Our office, several different divisions within our office are reviewing the project just to make a determination that everything is done correctly if the project goes forward.
And is there a required security element?
My understanding is yes.
Do we know what that required security element is?
We've just been in DOT. Has just been in discussions with CD5, and they provided us with their plans, and they have stated that they will have on-site security, they will have maintenance, and that is a stipulation of the proposals that they've provided us with.
And is the security provided by the management company, or is it provided by the city?
That is a detail we don't know, but from discussions, we think it would be LA Family Housing.
Okay, thank you.
And just for the record, because this is being considered as possibly a 10-year project, all contracts in regard to this project will have to go through council for approval, because they're more than 3 years, and they will have to be approved for form by the city attorney's office.
So this is a 10-year project. It's a 10-year commitment to the space.
So the proposal is 10 years. We do have a representative from the council office that is willing to speak to answer more detailed questions about the proposal.
All right.
We are here to provide any questions you may have regarding the lot, though. So if you have those questions, sure. DOT can assist, and Fernando Morales can assist with from any questions regarding the project.
All right. Let's see if we have questions regarding the lot.
Please. Yeah, I just, Commissioner Davidian, the simple question right now, I may have other questions as well, is the project proponent actually the council district, or is it DOT?
The council district.
The council district is the the primary proponent?
We currently oversee the lot.
Right.
So we have to talk to them and be in discussions with them. But the project itself is the council district.
All right. So whatever questions we have in terms of, you know, why is this being planned here and how it's being planned should be addressed to the council district representative.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, I just have a few questions. Just hearing out, you know, public comments and, you know, living in a neighborhood that, personally living in a neighborhood that has some transition developments as well. Let's start off with that term. What is, what's the transition look like for this? You know, we've heard a lot about the COVID impacts, you know, maybe this particular parking lot designated as underutilized, but as businesses come back, what's the impact of those when this is gone?
Unfortunately, I don't have pre-COVID numbers with me, but as far as the numbers of today, the studies that we took, we did see that there was an occupancy around 40% on a daily basis, and the peak times were around Fridays with a 68% occupancy rate. So when we did a couple more counts, we found that those occupancies were in the 50% range around 6 p.m. in the evening, but as we were leaving, cars were also coming.
This is Commissioner Eisenberg. Just one follow-up question to Commissioner LeBons is, have you done any survey to see if the community can absorb those spots in that 68%, mm-hmm. those vehicles?
Yeah, we have specific data related to that, the preferential parking districts, the permitting, and the meters.
Yeah.
It's a pretty detailed conversation, but high level is that in the area, there is parking if you have a permit, and there's permitted 2-hour parking, and then there's variances with the meter parking on Pico Boulevard.
All right, the permitted parking probably doesn't count because that doesn't help the retail customers.
Yeah. So there is a nearby another LADOT lot. It's about 3 blocks away, but it, please. So it's a matter of whether or not people would actually want to walk, or if that is in the direction of where they need to park.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're looking at people being displaced to the neighborhoods, which are PPDs, or they would have to park on street, which is metered parking.
Yep.
So when it comes to the long-term parking, you know, it is a little bit difficult. The numbers are lower, as she pointed out, during the day. It is higher Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't want to get into a more detailed discussion.
Yep.
But obviously, it is going to be very challenging for some of those people to find parking because of the PPD and the metered parking.
And that's really the point of the question, you know. And I've seen this in my neighborhood. And that's why I'm asking this on a personal note, that folks essentially try to find parking, and even if they park in those residential areas and there's a PPD, enforcement is not necessarily there, you know, to do so. And given the timing of this project, it begs the question of, like, what happens?
Pico Boulevard also has the no stopping, so that will impact. But otherwise, there is just meter parking on Pico Boulevard.
Okay, so
I'm sorry. More questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just like I didn't quite hear what the answer is on the transition or any transition plan or mitigation to kind of address the issue.
So I think that might be a question more appropriate for the council office. Mm-hmm. LADOT is not actually doing the project. So we are making the lot available.
Okay.
So I don't know if the council if that's going to be directed towards the council office and they want to respond.
Whoever, but I'm sticking to our purview here in terms of, like, you know, this is our parking lot. It's a service to the people in this neighborhood. And, you know, again, it just begs the question, we're taking away parking. We have PPDs and all these different restrictions, you know, enforcement, all that kind of stuff.
Do you want that answer?
Yeah, please.
Now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
But hang around just in case DOT questions.
I'll stay with you.
Hi. Thank you, commissioners. I did want to mention there was a question about security that came up before. It is 24/7 security. Apologies. Fernando Morales with Council District 5. Thank you, commissioners. There was a question about security that came up before. I just wanted to mention that 24/7 security would be provided by the service provider. This conversation, again, would also be stipulated in part of the contracts conversation as well. And with regard to mitigation conversations, I know our team has been in conversations with surrounded private property, private lot owners, to be able to mitigate and find some replacement parking in partnership with those specifically Hudson Pacific Properties and some other folks as well that are in the area.
So back to the question of security. So that's on site. Would there be any enhanced enforcement in the surrounding neighborhood by LAPD? And would you be putting in special enforcement zone signs?
So we have been in ongoing conversations regarding additional funds that are stipulated for bridge sites to be utilized for overtime, additional and walking patrols, plate readers, and different things that would increase the safety in the area overall. In addition to the additional security component, and our office hosting additional kind of neighborhood conversations as well with an advisory committee.
Commissioner Davidian, thank you. I didn't catch your first name.
Fernando Morales.
Fernando. Yes. What is the city's experience with projects like this? Similar projects like this. I heard something that there's currently no other or one other project, and I think that's really the thing that's most important to me is. If we're talking on both sides about with this being a good project, with it being a bad project, what is the precedent? What is the experience of the city in having such a thing in a neighborhood?
In terms of interim housing, modular options, I know that a lot of folks have brought up kind of the tiny homes model. These and, in conversations both with the mayor's office and here in best practices, having an en-suite bathroom, has proven to be the best-in-class conversation for these types of facilities so that folks, again, have that specific area inside and are able to utilize that space, throughout the day because there is, during the day, programming that occurs at these facilities.
There are other examples?
Other examples of this exact manufacturer in the city, this would be the first LifeArc project.
So the one thing that was mentioned in the staff report is there are 11 other tiny home villages within the city of LA. I don't know who operates them. I can't say if that's the city or who, but there are apparently some other examples within the city.
And just to clarify again, CD5 does not consider this to be a tiny homes project, mostly because of the additional component of the en-suite bathroom. But yes, there are definitely other sites, and our office has also visited other sites that have that type of modality.
Commissioner Pack, I have a few comments. First of all, I'd like to thank the neighbors from the Midvale area for taking the time to come all the way to downtown looking for parking and such to stay engaged. I am very, very familiar with the area. I don't live in the area, but for 20 years, every Saturday, my children and I used to go to Lenny's Deli for breakfast. And it's now closed, and it's heartbreaking for me. And just the other day when I was driving there to the LA Performing Arts Center for Open House, which is a school, 354 feet away from the parking lot, and I parked in our LADOT parking lot very proudly. I was kind of lamenting that this is one of the last neighborhoods that has small businesses along the corridor, and then I was even thinking about, should we have BID here? Does the area have BID? We need to kind of keep the area intact, was my thought. Just because I'm a very avid fan of a lot of the stores in the area. So as I said, I'm familiar with the Cold Stone and the Coffee Bean and the Starbucks and all that, and the guitar store that is no longer there. It's very unfortunate, and I guess this is part of the urbanization of our city. I want to say regretfully, DOT doesn't have jurisdiction over what happens, but I want to encourage you to stay engaged and let your voices be heard. I hopefully, with the new mayor, we have a solution that we can all live with, and to make sure that the businesses continue to thrive and take advantage of business corporations that are moving into the area. And then for you, I have a question. So I park here, and I know there's an alley, but from the drawing, I'm not familiar with this area of the parking lot, because I guess I always park here. Is this a DOT land, and is there parking spaces there currently?
Yes, that's part of the lot. It's two sides. There is an alley, and then there is a backside to the lot. So there's the Pico Boulevard, probably what it sounds like you're familiar with.
Right.
And then across that alley is part of the lot also.
And
so the overall lot is about L-shaped.
Right. So, yeah. But it's abutting the residential area, right?
R1.
So
on
R1 zoning, yeah.
So on the other side of that wall is a building, a home.
Right. So in worst case scenario, is the council member willing to forego this area? Leave as is, just put some sort of a barrier to protect the residents and the neighborhood integrity, and just focus on the frontal part facing facing Pico.
I'm very happy, and I have reached out to Barbara and folks here to say I'm available to speak after. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, kind of what you mentioned, the integrity of that, there's a 10-foot setback, and additionally, this is not a project that would be competing in any terms of height with the neighbors. For that reason, there didn't seem to be, and again, with a single point of entry and security, in terms of visual elements, there would be no elements of it that would come into conflict with the neighborhood integrity or types of buildings that are in the area. It would actually be lower than a two-story home.
The sense that I get from the residents who came out today, they are in support of many, many programs that our county and the city have for the indigent population or the unhoused individuals. And I know that in 2011, when the Yaroslavsky Senior Affordable Housing Project was going up, I think less than half a block away from the parking lot, 1.5 block away from the parking lot, there was no opposition, and one of the speakers also said that you supported two additional projects along Santa Monica Corridor. So I think we want to be mindful that this isn't about the case of NIMBYism, but for public safety and also to keep our businesses open. There's domino effect for everything that we do, and I'm not sure if we're ready. Yeah, thank you.
Commissioner Devine, one quick question. Looking at the map, there's an easement through the parcel adjacent to Pico in the corner. Is that a power easement or is it a utility easement?
It's water. It's a
flood control
channel. Yes.
Okay.
Correct. And if it's possible, I wanted to kind of respond or mention a few things, Commissioner Pack. So in terms of this project, yes, there are other projects in different housing modalities, such as you know, supportive housing or permanent affordable housing for seniors and for veterans in the area. However, how this project truly came to be, again, is not only is it a larger crisis, but additionally in CD5, the councilwoman and our team every day, you know, hear from folks and in the area, you know, many of the community leaders saying, hey, there are folks, there's an encampment here, and these are the issues that are presented for businesses and for residential folks in addition to the larger crisis. And while the other modalities are very helpful, this is the only modality and type of housing where we could immediately, and with programs that the mayor has moved forward with, be able to move folks immediately there to be able to move on to the other modalities of housing. But currently within CD5, there is no interim housing for single adults. So therefore, to have encampment resolutions or direct interventions that are able to bring that relief to communities is unable to be done within CD5. Luckily, and I know the councilwoman is very thankful for this in our office, other council offices have stepped up with encampment resolutions and have been able to assist. However, there is only so much bandwidth and so much that can be asked of others when it does not exist within the 5th Council District. Additionally, the 5th Council District and the councilwoman reviewed over 100 properties after looking at feasibility on this across Caltrans, City, and after really reviewing for feasibility, only a handful were left. Within that, again, that's when the conversation started in full with LADOT regarding these slots. So I just wanted to mention that additional context if it's helpful as well, and thank you.
And is the Commissioner Eisenberg, is the council office willing to still meet with members of the public one-on-one in person and look at possibly a couple other suggested locations as a replacement?
We are happy to have the conversations. Currently scheduling small group conversations across the community, and our team as well, field and district office and everybody in the team will also be meeting and having conversations, and has been having conversations one-on-one with folks. When it comes to other sites, happy to provide kind of the rationale behind other sites that weren't, you know, that did not move forward for feasibility, especially any public options that were perceived, because we really did turn over every rock.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that would buy you a lot of goodwill if you met with the community, particularly maybe their president, the representative, yeah, and look at these other lots that are in the same proximity and maybe discuss why they weren't a viable option.
For sure. Maybe
possibly do it open-mindedly.
And additionally, the surrounding community HOAs and neighborhood council have submitted roughly about 9 pages of questions, which we are finalizing today. And our team will also be at the Westside Neighborhood Council, which is the neighborhood council that that is part of that area, as well, to answer questions in addition to the small group conversations and the one-on-ones and engaging in that.
Has the neighborhood council weighed in on the project?
The neighborhood council has not.
Okay. We haven't been asked.
Well, I would think, although I don't want to do questions and answers like this, but you should put it on your agenda as to whether you support it or don't support it.
It's on the agenda tonight, but we've not had any prior notice, so it could not be considered earlier.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from commissioners?
One final question. You know, Fernando, you mentioned that you've considered quite a few sites, and there's you've left with a handful. Why this one and not the other places?
From the LADOT specific sites, after seeing expressing feasibility within this context, there were only two ultimately that were feasible. So this is the only one that we're engaging with at this time.
I see.
I think Commissioner LeBlanc's question is, what made this one
Christ
meet the feasibility list? What about it was so special?
Again, availability near transit, near economic opportunity, and you know, with providers and a contract in place when it comes to outreach and housing navigation. So in addition to other...
Right, but those reasons, items could exist on any lot.
For sure.
The same management.
And ultimately, the incredibly dire need within Spot 5, and that there hasn't been a single adult interim site in that area of CD5 or all of CD5.
And this would hold how many single adults?
At this current time, 34.
And do you know what the estimated yearly operating budget is?
We have the roughly per cost of each unit at $60,000, but we're still in conversations to determine final operation cost.
And right. $60,000, and then the management costs and food and beverage and.
Right, that is the part that is still being, yeah.
The flat fee of $60,000 a year.
No, that is just the construction of the units. However, the conversations are still ongoing to determine operating costs.
Okay. I don't have any more questions, but I definitely urge record. You to yeah. meet with the community and look at the other options and maybe discuss it and have a dialogue. They, you know, they're going to be living there more than 10 years.
Yep.
So, all right, Commissioner LeBon?
Yeah, just for the record, because I didn't see this until today, unfortunately. And, you know, I don't know if the public sees this, but the visuals that are in front of us included families, which is not what the purpose of the interim housing is. So,
do you folks have the renderings of this salesmanship project? Check it out. Look at the people hanging out in the courtyard.
No, we've looked. That's what Commissioner LeBon said.
That's what I'm pointing out.
You have children just with bicycle helmets.
Talking about their finances. Those are not the people being served by this.
Yeah.
And it's not going to look that pretty to start with, and it ain't going to look that pretty 1 month from then.
All right.
So they're selling something.
Okay. Thank you, sir. But this is we can't really legally do this public comment without it being per the Brown Act. Okay. We have our organized fashion. So we'd love to do a town hall, but this isn't a town hall.
Yeah.
Any other questions for our staff? And
I'd like to thank the neighborhood for coming in here, Fernando for coming in here as well to answer questions. It's quite clear, at least in my mind, you know, I keep on bringing this back, you know, I'm in a neighborhood wherein there's a lot of transition going on. I feel for what you're saying here. And stay engaged, as Commissioner Pack had mentioned, stay engaged with your council member and, you know, try to advocate for what's right for your neighborhood. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for coming out.
Thank you, Commissioners.
And, thank you, Fernando. And again, I'll urge you to meet with the community and find a resolution.
Definitely.
Be enemies. Find a resolution.
Definitely. And I did want to clarify on the website for the project, which we'll make sure that I share the correct and updated renderings are there and the FAQs and additional information.
Great.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You. You're welcome.
Thank you. Yep.